When Amy was talking about the vitamin pills and the, what's that called, Purcell or whatever it's called, and she, I just want to encourage you to take the gospel too. You need the gospel.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited this morning about Jesus. He's here. He's always here. And I praise his holy name. And today I want to speak again. It's kind of a follow through on my message that I had on hope. And I want to speak on encouragement because there's so much discouragement in the world today and around the world and what's happening. And as the Lord is preparing the nations of the world for the soon return of Jesus, we're watching things happening, horrible things happening. We're seeing them. We need to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just believe in my heart we need to encourage one another in the days that we live, as the Lord told us and prompted us that we need to come together more and more as we see the days approach. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that is what I'm going to speak on today. Lord, help me to be an encourager in this world. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, again, we come before your throne. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your love. And Lord, we thank you for your encouragement into our lives, Father. For you're always faithful, Lord, even when we're not. You are, Lord, and we praise you and we thank you, Lord. Let your anointing flow through this building today, Lord, throughout this building, upon this property, Lord. And Father, even as we're in here today, Lord, every car, Lord, I'm believing that one day though this place is going to be filled, should Jesus tarry, by the power of the Holy Spirit. As the world grows darker, Lord, you're going to send your people to churches that are going to preach the Word of God where they can get meat and food for their souls, Father. And we thank you for this opportunity again to come together as the body of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, how many have cats and dogs in here? Pets. You know something? Did you know that cats and dogs don't get along very well? Do they? And you know, I lived on a farm too, and I noticed that cats and birds don't get along very well either. And lions and bears don't get along. There's a lot of critters out there that they don't get along with each other, do they? And you know something? If you go on YouTube and look up animals that get along, it's really interesting. When you see ducks feeding fish, that's getting along, isn't it? And when you see cats and dogs playing together and a cat laying on a dog and sleeping together, and it's a very unusual thing, isn't it, to see that happening. But you can actually see animals doing that on YouTube when you go in there, to see them actually getting along. And it's really fun to watch that. And it kind of reflects the truth that's stated here in Romans chapter 12, verse 5. It says, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another." Isn't that awesome? We're this. We're actually we are the spiritual body of Christ as one, getting along. And in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 and 8, it says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den." Animals who were not acting like you'd expect them to act, would you? When you read that. The animal spoken of in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 and 8, all acted the way you'd think they'd act. The lambs and the calves and the fatlings and the little child in the text. In this world today, they'd all be some kind of animal's lunch today, wouldn't they? We'd be eating each other's. But that's not happening. That's not happening. In the original creation, all animals were vegetarian, according to Genesis 1:30. And these conditions will be restored in the coming kingdom age when Jesus returns. Isn't that going to be an awesome time when we all can get along? Praise the Lord. But something has changed them. Something has changed them. And that's what has happened in true churches today. You've got all kinds of worldly people coming in and becoming Christians. All types. And people who were before coming to Christ were wolves and snakes and devourers. And now they're sitting in pews with the innocent and the gentle folks of this world. They're coming into the church. God brings them into the church as we witness and share our faith out in a dark world. Ordinarily, if you were to put those kind of people together for any length of time, the only folks left standing most of the time are the predators. And that's what happens in our world today. Then how was that that God could get so many different and difficult kinds of people into one place where they could actually get along? How can God do that? Well, I know God can do it because he's the God of the impossible. Nothing's impossible for God. And well, partly this could happen because of the transformative power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. And I watched one day as a drunkard turned his life over to Christ as he was walking toward me. And I watched the power of God change him right before my eyes when we shared the gospel with him. You could see his countenance and his mannerisms change in his face, and God sobered him up within a moment's time. That's the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. I watched one day as a drug addict came forward and repented of his sins. I've watched that happen. I've seen it many times in Teen Challenge when I've given an altar call, and I've watched these people come forward that are living in dark pits of hell in their life, destroying their family, their lives, their jobs, their finances, everything. And then they met Jesus. And when you share Jesus with them and they receive that forgiveness and that repentance, you see in their eyes and their face, you can see the power of God moving upon them and changing them within a moment's of time. It's an awesome thing. I've seen ex-homosexuals and adulterers and fornicators all come to Jesus. All come to Jesus and become changed individuals, all because of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? We don't have to stay where we're at in this whole world. That's why it's important for you and I to go out and to win the lost, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. Amen? Praise the Lord. But there's something beyond the saving blood of Christ, and that also adds to exchange that adds to the change that takes place in a person's life. And sometimes it's embodied in a simple gift, and you can find that simple gift here listed in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the power of the Holy Spirit dealing and working in our lives and transforming us as we walk with the Lord. Amen? See, that's speaking of the gift of encouragement. Paul writes, if a man's gift is encouraging, let him encourage. That's what he's telling us. Romans chapter 12, 6 and 8 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I love the word of God. Encouraging, exhorting, those two words, they don't sound like they describe the same thing. But when we look at the word beseech in Romans 12:1, the Greek word here is parallel. Parallel. Keleo means to call. Para means alongside, so parallel means to call near and come alongside, to come alongside. And one of the most famous uses of that word is in John chapter 16, verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Who exactly is Jesus referring to here? Who? The Holy Spirit, amen. See, part of the Spirit's job is to come near alongside us and to do what? To comfort, to counsel, and to help. to comfort, to counsel, and to help. Say it with me, to comfort, to counsel, and to help. That's what the Holy Spirit does. To comfort, to counsel, and to help. I'm being repetitious, aren't I? But repetition is what I need the older I get. Now, if that's the Spirit's job, what do you think the mortal person who has that kind of gift is supposed to do? Speaking to you and I, huh? See, that's right. They're supposed to come alongside us and comfort us and console us and help us. Comfort us and console us and help us. That's what we do with each other's too. Amen? Now, as with the gift listed in Romans 12:1, all of us are to be encouragers. All of us. We should be encouragers, shouldn't we? We should be encouragers. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, "Finally, my brethren, farewell. Be perfect," meaning be mature. "Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." I like that. I like that last part. The peace and love of God will be with you. We need that today, don't we? See, we are to come alongside and to comfort each other and to help each other and encourage each other. That's what the Lord is telling us to do, to encourage one another. The gift of encouragement is a very, very, very powerful gift. It's worked in my life, and I know if not all of you have had somebody speak into your life and encourage you some way along the line. Because see, life can be really hard the way it is. We can always find things to be critical, but I tell you, a person that has the gift of encouragement is unique in this world that we live today, especially within the church realm, that when we can encourage one another, what's that do? When I was a teenager going to school, I got bad grades. We were picked on because we had holes in our pants, my folks weren't wealthy, lived on a farm, and we were super shy, and I was as red as my sister's nice-looking dress there, the red in there, whenever I'd have to get up in front of anybody, and kids would laugh and everything, and that was hard. And so when I was in my freshman year, I dropped out of high school. And my dad said, "You don't want to be a bum the rest of your life, do you?" And to my brother and I, and we said, "No," we got back into a school situation. And something changed when I got back into school. And I'll tell you what changed in my life. It was a person that I believe at that time I didn't know, but I believe it was God that sent that person into my life. It was a woman that would come up to me and said, "Lyndon," that's my whole name, by the way, if you didn't know, "Lyndon, you can make it. You can make something of yourself." And when I struggled with the math part of the stuff I was doing and with different parts of the teaching she was giving and everything, I struggled. She had come alongside me and said, "You can do this. You've got a mind and you can do this. You can make this thing work." And she always prompted me, encouraged me. And guess what? I was encouraged. Instead of dropping out of a school with a D, I graduated from high school with a B+. Because of this person that God, I believe, at that time sent in to say, you can make it. You've got a great mind, and you can make it if you use it. And I believe that's what helped me get through that school the second time, because of encouragement. See how vitally important it is that we need to look for ways of encouragement? We're to comfort each other. We're to help each other and encourage each other. It's a powerful gift. In fact, we have a guy in Scripture who is literally nicknamed the Son of Encouragement. Do anybody know who that guy is? That's right. It's Barnabas. Acts 4:36, and Joseph, and by the way, that name means he that pardons. That's what his name means, Joseph, but they called him Joseph, and he that pardons, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite in the country of Cyprus. But see, his name, which means also the son of comfort and encouragement, attributes of our God that we serve. That's what his name meant. And this may have been his most important characteristic about him, since that is what the apostles called him. Now, why on earth would apostles give this man a nickname like that? Why would they do that? Why do you think? You want to know why? Because he was an encourager. Barnabas was an encourager, and the apostles and everybody around him evidently knew it because that was his name. That was his name. The apostle not only recognized what he was doing, they admired him for it. And you can find details about Barnabas' background and spread throughout the book of Acts and Paul's epistles. He was emulating some of the attributes of our Lord, giving comfort and help and encouragement. That's what Barnabas was doing. That's what he was doing. And there's something about a true encourager that changes people. There's something about it and encourage what they can do for you. Here's an illustration. Some research on encouragement, and what was discovered was the most interesting thing, according to an article at CNN. This was a couple years back now. Research shows that the bosses should use positive comments a lot more, about 6 times more than criticism. I heard some chuckles in there. The study done by the University of Michigan Business School several years ago compared team performance to the frequency of praise and criticism given within the teams. The best performing teams used about 6 times as many positive comments for every negative one. By contrast, it found that the worst performing teams on average used 3 negative comments for every positive one. You see what happens? People need to wise up if they even want to get more production out of their people at work. They really do. But we need to do the same thing in the church, especially in the church. We need to encourage one another. Every one of you have a gift in here that God has gifted you with, and we need to help encourage one another to bring that gift out. Not just to be pew sitters or chair sitters in this case, but to encourage you to go and use that gift, because when you use it, the Holy Spirit moves in a supernatural way in your life. And so many people miss out on what the power of God is in their life because they don't use the gift that God has given them. And I want to go along and I want to encourage you. Whatever that gift is, whatever you can do, whatever you would love to do, that you have a gift to do it, I want to encourage you, put it into action and watch the Holy Spirit move in your life. You will see God from a whole different perspective when you see Him touch your gift in your life and use you and begin to see what's happening around your life. No matter how small you may think it is, if you use that gift, the Holy Spirit will anoint it and use you for His glory. That's His desire. He gave us gifts. He gave them to us. And I want to encourage you with that. Leadership consultant Jack Zinger noted, negative interactions tend to dampen the enthusiasm and commitment of the individual. Did you hear that? It's easy to be critical. It's easy to tear down. It's easy to look for something. But it's another thing to encourage somebody. Even if they are struggling, it's good to come along and say, you can make it. You have a purpose. And God loves you. And He wants you to make it too, doesn't He? He wants us to encourage each other. And American psychologist John Gottman found that a similar ratio for positive and negative comments, 6 to 1, from spouses to each other will lead to a happier marriage. Come on, guys. Did you hear that? If you're married in here, found that a similar ratio for positive and negative comments, 6-to-1 from spouses to each other. When's the last time we as guys have thanked our wives for keeping the homes clean? When is the last time we just thanked our wives for all that they do and even taking care of us when we're slops? When is the last time we've had an encouraging word for our lovely wife that we chose to be with the rest of our life? Have we lost that? If you have, ask the Holy Spirit to bring it back and start looking at your wife. And wives, look at your husband and start saying, how can I encourage my spouse? How can I encourage them to be the person that God wants them to be? Instead of looking for negative things. The negative's always there. We're in a negative world. But encouraging. That's what God wants to do through you and I, is to help us to be encouragers. Another one and says, and can you see how encouraging plays out in the real world? A woman in one office brought in her new baby and her 7-year-old son to work one day. Everyone gathered around the baby, and the little boy asked, Mommy, that was me saying that, huh? Can I have some money to buy soda? What do you say? She said. He replied, you're thin and beautiful. The woman reached into her purse and gave her son money. Now, if that's true in the business world, people, and that's true in the home, do you suppose that maybe being an encourager rather than a discourager might be a valuable gift in the church? Boy, I do. We'd have a whole different bunch of churches, wouldn't we? Satan always will want to try to use God's people. But we want to be used by God, because our God's an encouraging God. He does the work. He does the encouragement. He gives us the gift and the ability to accomplish what needs to be done. And if there's something in our lives, we depend on the Holy Spirit, don't we, to guide and do a work in our life. Not to condemn, but to do a work and to encourage us to keep on keeping on. And we need to be encouragers. But we need to be genuine and sincere. I want to add that in there too. This gift is about more than just being a cheerleader and saying encouraging words. It says in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily. What did it say?
Exhort one another daily.
Yes. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need to encourage people. God didn't call us to discourage people, to tear people down, did he? He called us to encourage. In this dark world that you and I are living in right now, we need this kind of encouragement, especially. And especially within the body of Christ, where we help each other along. And there are many one another passages in Scripture, and it is important to practice them daily. We should exhort one another daily and edify one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Edify one another. James 5:16. Pray one for another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Comfort one another. Be ye kind to one another. Ephesians 4:32. And especially, love one another. John 13:34. We're to love each other's. We're to love each other's. We're to love each other's. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, now I beseech you, I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me, Paul said. And you know, Paul preached the cross, he lived the cross, and he knew victory was to be had for anyone anyone that would live by the cross. He knew that. And he encouraged people to live according to the cross. Now, there's one more step involved in this gift. Barnabas took his gift of encouragement and put his reputation on the line. We all remember the event of Paul's meeting with Jesus on the road to Damascus and his baptism into Christ by Ananias just a few days later. But few people realize how hard a time Paul had living down his past. They couldn't accept it. You see, the reason Paul was on the road to Damascus was because he was on the way there to arrest and imprison Christians. And this was what Paul was known for. For years, Paul was the face of persecution. Acts 8:3 says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." That guy was one mean dude, wasn't he? But it tells us that he went from house to house and dragged Christians out of their homes and put them in prison. And everybody knew who Paul had been. So when Paul was baptized into Christ, that's still how people viewed him. That's still how they viewed him. And he wanted to meet with the disciples, but listen to what it says in Acts chapter 9, 26 and 27. "And when Paul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." There's old Barnabas standing in for Paul, confirming and encouraging Paul, letting him know, "Somebody's here with you, I've got you." Barnabas, he didn't have to do that. But once Paul came to Christ, Barnabas made it a point to stand beside him, to declare that Paul was a changed man, to publicly state that Paul needed to be accepted by other Christians. He had Paul's back, didn't he? He did. And Barnabas boldly approached the elders and set the record straight. A person with the gift of encouragement goes to bat for you. Did you know that? They go to bat for you. I want Crossfire to be a church that is a church of encouragement. When people come into this church, and I hear, and I said this to you before, and I'm proud of this church, because many visitors have walked through, and we've had several of them in the past 5 years walk through here, that said, "This is one of the friendliest churches I've ever been in. You people are so encouraging." Whether they're out of town, in town, I don't care. If they never come back, they left with the idea, hey, one thing that church is, they're an encouraging, friendly church. Isn't that a great, be a loving church? What a great reputation to have like that. A person with the gift of encouragement goes to bat for you. Here's an encouragement phrase. It may be a little different, but it's a good one. Encouragement is the gift that greases the gears. Now, if you lived on a farm, you kind of understand that a little better than maybe somebody who's never had to grease the gears on a tractor or anything or a plow. But I'm going to repeat that. Encouragement is the gift that greases the gears. Without this gift, the church will grind and scrape its way through life. Without this gift, the church can be morally upright, righteous to a fault, and doctrinally correct beyond anything you've ever seen. But without this gift, it would become a cold, dark congregation. Without the gift of encouragement, a church will disintegrate. A church cannot exist as a family if this gift is missing. It can't. We need encouragement, people. It's the gift of encouragement that greases the gears. A pastor told a story. "We have a man who started coming to this congregation a few months back. He's told me that we have a very friendly church. In fact, he describes us this way. This is an unnaturally friendly church." He means that as a compliment, by the way. "And he's right. This church isn't normal. We are friendly way beyond what you'd expect to see in other churches. But the question is, how did we get that way? I'd like to be able to lay credit for that. But it was not like that before I got here, he says. So I began to ask around as to how we became like we are. And several folks gave me the same name, Jim. Jim is an elder. And for years, he's made it his ministry to sit at the front door and hand out bulletins. But he does more than hand out bulletins. He smiles at you. He talks with you. He asks you about your family. He is truly interested in you. You know how this church got to be so friendly? Jim infected you. He's the disease, and you caught it. And I read that, I was thinking about people in this church, and we've got so many people in this church that I could relate to Jim. That's why I'm proud of this church. God has blessed this church with loving people. People that come together, and I've heard you encourage one another. And we need that. Amen? We need that. We're to love each other and to come along and encourage. And I can think of you how when guests have come, how you've asked them questions and let yourself come into their life and let them be willing to share who they are and what they are. And these people love that. They felt accepted. They are the kinds of people that create the loving and friendly atmosphere that we have here. The gift of encouragement is the grease for our gears. But now there's a problem with discussing the gift. The problem can be when people say things like, well, I don't see anybody going to bat for me. Or, I don't see anybody stepping up and saying encouraging words to me. You know what the problem is with those complaints? It's in that silly word at the end of each of them, and it's me. It's me. Anyone who would say something like this is expecting to be served. They're expecting to be served. Anyone who's miffed because they didn't get their compliment or their back scratch views Christianity as being all about me. And it's not, people. It's not. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 through 28. But it shall be not so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Woo! There it is right there. We need to come to church, whether it's even in the church. It can be in the home. It can be on the street. I don't care where it is. You and I, as being having the Holy Spirit living within us and the power of the Lord living in us, should always be aware of people around us and what we can do to encourage and to help and to minister to them. This isn't about whether I get the compliment. This isn't about whether I give the compliment. That's the Bible, people. That's what the Bible says. Acts 20, 35 says, I have showed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. On Fox News this morning, I thought it was really neat, a young girl. I think she was like 12 years old. I don't remember where she lived or anything, but they did a raffle thing for a woman's home where young women were having children out of wedlock and everything, and they got a home for them, a place to come to protect and to help and to serve these young women. And this little girl was part of that, and it showed her in this place, and she was holding little babies and just loving on them and everything. Well, she bought 16 of these raffle tickets to win this $70,000 pickup. A GMC, I think it was, or a Chevy, one of the two. But anyway, it showed her standing by it when she won it. She was so excited. But you know something? She didn't keep it. You know what this little girl did? She gave it back to the organization that was helping the women help these young ladies that were having babies out of wedlock. in order to support them financially and to get them a van that they could tote the women around, these young ladies, to wherever they need to go. That is somebody ministering and being a servant to somebody else. And if, I don't know if these, she came from a Christian home or not, but we need to really look at that and realize we need to do the same thing, don't we? We don't need to think of ourselves. We need to think of you. We need to think of others. And how can we minister? How can we encourage? How can we make you go the extra mile to the coming of Jesus? How can we make you go the extra mile, your faith, to make that road to your death to meet Jesus? How can we do that? We do that through encouragement. We do it through things of help. We do it by comforting people, not looking for ways to tear down. There's times when we have need for reprimand and things like that, but the purpose of this message today is to encourage you, because everyone sitting in chairs in this room has been given a gift by God to use to encourage somebody else on this side of heaven. And you may not even see any results come back from that gift, but when you get to heaven, you're going to see what God does through an encourager. It's going to be exciting. You're going to have people that you've ministered to walk up to you that you never knew that you ever touched their life, but you did something, and maybe it was just a smile. Maybe it was just a smile. Or maybe it was just acknowledging somebody's presence. Ministering to others is, how can I be used to encourage others in their faith? So how do you know if you have the gift of encouragement? You find yourself complimenting people all the time? If people aren't getting compliments, you find ways to do that. If you see some people within the body, especially I'm talking about, and it seems like nobody seems to approach them or anything, are you one that will approach them and let them know that, hey, we care, we're here, we want to encourage you? If people aren't getting compliments, you find that way. If people are being ignored or mistreated, you are right there defending them. You have people's back. You make it your job to make the church friendly. You seek out new people and introduce them around. Not to tear down, but to introduce them around to other brothers and sisters in Christ. You look for people who aren't here this Sunday. You call them, you visit them. You cringe when you hear another church member criticize others. Your greatest joy is when you've given another person joy. That's it. See, this is not just one person's gift, people. We can all be used to encourage the body of Christ, can't we? Amen. We can all be used to encourage it. This is a great gift. But it's not a gift people ordinarily come by naturally. Some people, it's hard to come by. We're trained almost from childhood to taunt and to ridicule others, aren't we? You'll see it all the time on the playgrounds of our schools. But why do even kids tear down rather than build up others? Frankly, because it's easier to do that. It's easy. I'm going to close with this poem. Amy, you can come up. I stood on the streets of a busy town, watching men tearing a building down. With ho, heave, ho, and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and a sidewall fell. I asked the foreman of the crew, are those men as skilled as you? Would you hire if you wanted to build? Ah, no, he said, no indeed, just common labor is all I need. I can tear down as much in a day or two as would take a skilled man a year or two. And I thought as I went my way, just which of those two roles am I trying to play? Have I walked life's road with care, measuring each deed with rule and square? Or am I one of those who roam the town, content with the labor of tearing down? That's a great poem. A Christian ought never to be ridiculing and tearing down others. We ought to always be driven to encourage, to compliment, to challenge, to guide, to protect one another so God can receive the praise. We need to be more than cheerleaders. We need to be encouragers. Amen. Let's all stand, please. Praise the Lord. With every head bowed, I just want to give you an invitation. I want to give you an invitation to someone who died on Calvary's cross, who lived a life of encouragement to his creation. His name's Jesus. And Jesus told us that we needed to be born again before we could enter heaven. He told us we needed to repent of our sins and we needed to come to him. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there are none righteous, no, not one. We're all in need of a Savior. And if you've never, ever done that, and you say, I don't know what would happen if I died right now, if I would go to be with that Jesus, that loving Jesus, I don't know. Just raise your hand and say, I don't know. I want to know for sure. If you don't know for sure, raise your hand. I may know everybody in here, but I'm going to keep giving the invitation. I'm not shy or embarrassed to do that. Is there anybody in here who would agree with me that I need to, in my life, ask the Lord through this Holy Spirit, Lord, help me to be an encourager? Let's put our hands up before our Lord and say, Lord, look at me. I want to be one of those encouragers. I want to touch people's lives.
Yes, Lord.
I want to be an encourager. And if I hear somebody trying to discourage or tear down, I'm going to encourage them not to. Because we need to be encouragers, especially in the day that we live, because there's a hurting world and they need encouragement. And we need to encourage one another within the body. Because Christians are under attack right now, Lord. Your people. And Lord, we want to encourage one another to know that we have each other's backs. As imperfect as we are, Lord, you still love us. You still work on us and you guide us and you lead us and you encourage us. And Father, I pray for all of us in here today, including me, Father, you would continue through your Holy Spirit to convict, to guide, to speak into our lives, to be encouragers, exhorters, ministers of the gospel. Help us all to come along together and be a mighty army for you in these last days to reach. Even if it's one soul, Father, for the kingdom, Lord, give us that soul. And we thank you, Lord. Put the spirit of encouragement, that gift. Let it whelm up with inside of us, Father, for you put it in us. We can be encouragers. And if there be any in here struggle, say, I have a hard time doing it. Just, Lord, just help them to know they can come to you and you will encourage them to be an encourager. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I thank you for... We thank you for one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we praise you and we glorify you. And now, Lord, I would lift each one of my brothers and sisters in Christ up here, Lord. And Lord, you see the struggles, you see the needs, you see the hurt, you see the anguish, you see even the complacency in our hearts. And Lord, I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that you'll continue to do a work in our lives. Continue to work on us and move in us to help us to be like Jesus in every avenue of our lives, Father. Help us to be a body of believers that are strong in the Word, Father. And use for your glory. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit as we go back into our worlds, Father. And some of our older people may go back into worlds where it's lonely. Lord, be there with them and let them know that they're not, you haven't forgotten them. That you desire to use them, even if it's that communication between you and them each and every day. And I want to encourage anyone in here that if you feel left out, you're not. Because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And Father, we thank you for all your blessings and all your faithfulness in our lives and all the work you're doing in our lives, Father. And we praise you, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a beautiful day and have some great fellowship. Fellowship. And you don't need to be on the water. Lord bless you.